I recorded him singing because it was beautiful. Thank you, Brother Carlos. The message this morning is going to be out of the book of Acts, chapter 16. And as I was preparing the message this week, and I got here early this morning, spent some time with people, God showed me something. He showed me a lot of things, actually. One is, God loves you. God loves you. Just tell someone that this morning. God loves you. It has to sink in. And then tell them this. This is the tough one. I love you. I love you. Because what God showed me preparing this message, there's one God. And there is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. It's one. There is one church. There are 10 million church buildings all over the world. And this morning, us talking about church buildings we all used to go to, this building and that building, and all these denominations, all these religions, but there is one church. And what we have to do as a church is become one. It's to love each other and to know there's one Jesus, one God, one church, and we've got to come together. Amen. God does not want division. Satan's created all this division with all these denominations, all these religions. God just wants oneness. And in many Baptist churches, we've all came together in prayer circles and held hands and praised God. That is worship, when we can do that as one and look each other in the eye and say, I love you. And there's this young lady I was talking to this morning that had the Spirit of God all over her. One Spirit. And we prayed together. And that's what it's about. One Spirit. When we can all get that one Spirit, then we can worship the one God. Amen. Acts chapter 16. And thank you, lady I talked to this morning, because you really put fire in me this morning. The title of the message is, Where Do We Go to Have Church? Where do we go to have church? And out of Acts chapter 16... And I want you to know, as a preacher, you spend all week in your message and you got all these verses memorized, and when you get up here, you forget everything. So forgive me, because a lot of people are staring at you, so your memory just goes sometimes. Acts chapter 16, this story happened 2,000 years ago. So what does it have to do with us today? And the one and only answer is Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. He created the heavens and the earth. And when we get to Revelation chapter 5, he's going to take back his earth. There's only one. It's all about Jesus. So that's who we're going to be talking about this morning. I'm going to start reading in verse 11, and we're going to see the word we. And the we in this verse is the Apostle Paul was a traveling preacher. And what he did is he went on missionary journeys and he traveled across the country preaching Jesus wherever he went. He just preached Jesus. And he took with him Silas. So it was Paul and Silas. And along the way, they met a young man named Timothy that became a disciple. So Paul, Silas, and Timothy were traveling together on a missionary journey, preaching Jesus. It was a traveling church. And so that's going to be the we and the us that we see in these verses. And we're also going to meet a lady named Lydia along the way. We're going to meet a slave girl. We're going to meet a prison guard and prisoners. And if you've been going to church for many years, you've heard this story many, many times, but the Lord put it up on my heart that we needed to hear it again. And as I read verses 11 through 34, I want you to think about three things. Where did Paul have church at? Where did he have church at? What did he do during his church service? And did anything happen when Paul was having church? So where did he have it at? What did he do? And did anything happen? Acts chapter 16, verse 11. It says, "Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in the city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay.' So she persuaded us. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, and proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour. But when the master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, 'These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe.' Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, everyone's chains were loosed, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from the sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, 'Do yourself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. Now when he had brought them into his house, he set food before them and rejoiced, having believed in God and his household." I want us to notice in these verses four places where Paul had church. If we look at verse 13, it says, "By the riverside." Paul was outside on the river with a group of people having church, praising and worshiping God. Verse 15, Lydia met the Lord, and now they're in Lydia's house having church, praising and worshiping God. Verse 25, in prison having church. And when you get to verse 32, the prison guard, they're in his house having church. So Paul had a lot of church. We come to a building on Sunday morning for an hour and have church, which is what God wants. Do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God allowed Paul to have church wherever he went. So point one of my message is we do not have to have our church be limited to a building on Sunday morning for 1 hour. Amen. This does not have to be our only church service all week. Wherever we go, we can have church. We can go to Walmart and have church. We can start praising and worshiping God. When we go to the park, we can have church. Whenever we're at anybody's house, we can have church. And people get into their mind, I go to church on Sunday mornings. What church do you go to? Oh, I go to Rolling Hills Church. And we all know that we don't go to church. We are the church. And when we assemble, we are allowed to praise God and sing praises to His name wherever we are. There's a sandwich shop on Cassett Avenue, famous sandwiches. I eat there all the time. Anybody know about it? Yeah. It was a real hot day. I was in there, and the guy behind at the counter taking my order said, "How are you?" I said, "You know," he said, "it's real hot out there. How are you surviving?" I said, "God. Because God keeps me warm, and I can praise God in here. I can praise God out there worshiping." And I was preaching to him. I didn't mean to, but he asked, "How you doing?" So I'm doing good because God lives inside of me. And the lady behind me started, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." You know, she was real loud. She was Pentecostal. So we was having church and famous sandwiches, and we're allowed to do that. So point one is you do not, are not allowed just to have church for 1 hour in the building on Sunday mornings. We can have church wherever we go. And that's just what Paul did. He had church all the time. Point two of my message. What was the result when Paul had church? What was the result? I want us to look at verse 14. I'm going to read the whole verse. Verse 14, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. When we preach the name of Jesus, people hear us. They might want to hear it, they might not want to hear it, but when we're out there in public, people hear us. And occasionally I'm out there in public and I see church people and I follow them, I'm behind them. I say, God's always watching you, someone's always watching you. People are listening to you always. We got to be careful what comes out of our mouth. Verse 14, she heard us. He's having church. He's preaching the gospel. Lydia's listening. It says, the Lord opened her heart. We don't do the saving. We do the preaching. God opens the heart. And it said, she and her household were baptized. They were saved. They were baptized because Paul had church on the river preaching the word. She listened, she heard, she received. She didn't have to come to a building on Sunday morning to get saved. She got saved by the riverside. So the result of Paul's church service was Lydia got saved and her household. Many lives got saved. Verse 32, it tells us, then they, Paul and Silas, spoke the word of the Lord to the prison guard and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. So once again, Paul and Silas were preaching in prison. They were having church service in prison. God moved on his heart, and the man and his family got saved. God moves when we come together and when we pray and when we mean it, God will move. And if you notice in this verse, look at verse 25 again. It says, "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." What's the next word you see after "to them"? Suddenly. That's how God moves. When we pray and sing hymns to God, suddenly there's a great, great earthquake. God hears us and he moves suddenly. We can't create an earthquake, but God did. God tells us to do the same thing that Paul and Silas Timothy did. He said, "Go tell." Is that in the Bible? Yes. Matthew chapter 28, if we can turn there. Matthew chapter 28, it is called the Great Commission. And when they wrote this, to David Gregory, the Great Commission. And they wrote it to you. If you're a child of God, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, "Jesus came and spoke to his followers." Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." If you're saved, Holy Spirit's in you. So when he sends you, he's going with you. You're not going alone. And he will give you the words to say. God don't tell us, "I want you only to go to church on Sunday mornings and just praise me a little bit on Sunday mornings for 1 hour and that's it." No, he says, "Go. Wherever you go, go therefore and tell all nations about me." That's what Paul and Silas did, and many received him. So we're not confined to just church on Sunday mornings. And notice that Paul preached one simple message when he preached. Just one message. Now I'm going to turn to Romans 1:16. I'm going to read this one message. This is what the Apostle Paul wrote, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and to the Greek." I'm not ashamed of Jesus, so therefore when I leave this building, I can go out there and I can preach Jesus. And when I go to the sandwich shop, he says, "How you doing?" I say, "I'm doing good because Jesus lives inside my heart." And the lady behind me can say, "Hallelujah, praise God." And we had church service. Amen. It's not just about coming here and whispering, "Do you believe in Jesus?" "Yes, yes, yes. We all love Jesus in here. Yes." Well, let's go out there and tell others about Jesus Christ. And know this. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 16. Paul preached the same message. Jesus saves. That's all he preached. Jesus saves. That's all he knew. He didn't know anything but Jesus saved me. Some received and got saved. But the slave girl following down the street, she didn't receive. She rejected him. And when he was in the prison, the prisoners heard, but they didn't receive. It's not up to us who receives the message and who rejects. He wants us to go therefore and tell all nations that Jesus lives. Amen? And I know this, when I got saved at a later age in life, saved when I was older, And I got radically saved, and I immediately went running down the street, Jesus saved, Jesus saved. You know, I didn't know not one Bible verse, nothing. And my friend was wearing me out with questions, man. Asking me all these questions, like, I don't know. Told him, this is all I know. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I can see heaven. I can see Jesus. That's all I can tell you for now. But now he don't ask me questions. I got answers now. I know this Bible very well, so he don't ask me any questions. But if that's all you know, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, then that's good. Just tell him that. Tell everybody you see that. And so we see some received, some did not, but it's God who opens the heart of his people. Acts 16, we're still there? So I want you to see this one verse. This is the one verse. You've been a Christian for a long time, you know this verse well. Verse 30, he brought them out of this and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You think Paul knew the answer to this? Amen. Do you know the answer to this? This is the question. Do you know the answer? Has anybody ever asked you, what must I do to be saved? Amen. Do you know the answer? And if you're in here this morning and you say, no, I don't know what I'd tell and I don't know the answer, then I have to ask you, do you know Jesus? Because if you can't tell someone how to be saved, how do you know that you're saved? Amen. But you came to the right place, because a lot of people in here can tell you how to be saved. So this is where you need to be. If there's any doubt in your mind about this question, if someone asks you, what must I do to be saved? We need to know that answer for ourselves so we can be saved. Paul knew the answer. And I want to tell you this. I had somebody ask me this exact question before. I used to preach at a Baldwin truck stop, big TA truck stop in Baldwin. I preached there many years. And the best church service I ever had in my life was at this truck stop on a Sunday morning. And we started at 11 o'clock. We were supposed to get there, and I was supposed to preach at 11. And we had the people there. And it just so happened that this Southern Baptist singer was in there. I don't do music, so I said, can you lead the music this morning? He goes, yeah, I'm in a traveling band, just happened to be here. I'll lead the music. So we had a music director there. And right before I started, 5 minutes till 11, there's a restaurant downstairs. This waitress brought this truck driver in there. She goes, he was looking for the service. I brought him to you. I didn't even see her. I seen God's hand bringing this guy to me. And he got there. And he goes, I wanted to go to church today. I'm so glad y'all are having a church service. I said, you came to the right place. I said, do you know God? He goes, well, I want to. I said, have you ever met Jesus Christ? He goes, I'd like to meet him one day. And I said, have you ever been saved? And he asked me at 5 minutes till 11 o'clock when service begins, what must I do to be saved? So I had a decision to make being a preacher. Do I want to say, okay, let's talk about this after I preach, then we'll talk about this? Or do we take care of this right now? What do you think I did? Right then, 5 minutes before service, we were up front, and we went through the Lord's Prayer, and that man accepted Jesus, and we had church that morning. We had a real church. And God just happened to send him, and God just happened to send the song leader there. And everyone after that said, this was church, man. This is what it's all about. And so he asked it, it's all about timing. We're always in a busy, we always got to be somewhere. And God asked us, can you do this for me? Yeah, I can do it, but not now, God. I have a lawn business. So I pull a lawn trailer. I'm trying to make this a quick story. I was praying for a lawn trailer. The $2,500 said, God, I need a new lawn trailer. I need one. And God knows anyway. But I said, I ain't got $2,500. So can you help me, God? Looked at it on a Friday. I said, God, I want this trailer. Monday morning, I'm heading to work, going past Lane Avenue, going through a green light. Young guy runs a red light, hits my lawn trailer, knocks the axle out from under it. I mean, he hits me doing 50 at full speed. And so we pull over in the Sonny's parking lot on Lane Avenue. I said, you hit me pretty hard. It was a young guy, about 30. He goes, yeah, I wasn't paying any attention. I wasn't looking at the road. I was looking down. And I said, you could have been killed. He goes, I know. I said, are you right with God? He goes, I used to be. I said, well, you needed to be right with God right then. And I preached to him. During an accident in Sonny's parking lot, he heard the gospel. And he heard it with open ears. He said, I used to walk with God. And then he married a girl, and she got him away from God. He goes, I'm ready to come back to God. And we waited 30 minutes for the police to come and ride it up. And he told the police straight out, he goes, I wasn't looking at nothing. I just ran the red light and hit him, which is, you don't tell a cop that, but he did. And so he got a ticket. He goes, I could not wait for that cop to leave so we can pray. He goes, will you please pray with me? And we prayed. We had church service in the parking lot. It was time for him to know God. And they gave me a new trailer out of that one. I got a new trailer because Dairy Land Insurance bought me a $2,500 trailer. So God heard my prayer, and I got to have church in the parking lot. So if someone asks you, what must I do to be saved? Do you have an answer? Something you need to know. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. I want us all to turn to Romans chapter 10. We turn to Romans chapter 10. There were 5 points to my message. Number one is, can we have church anywhere? Or do we just have to have church here on Sunday mornings from 11 to 12? Is this the end of our church for God? If I had church, check, I'm going on with my life. You can have it anywhere. He wants us to go. God moves when we pray and worship. God will move. He will move with us or he will move without us. He don't need us to do anything. But when we pray and worship and say, here I am, God, send me, he will send you and you will be a part of his works. And you will receive a reward in heaven. We can get to heaven and get no rewards, or we can get there and get many. I want many rewards. I want to do God's work now. He wants me and you to be his voice. Does God have a voice? Yes, he has a big mouth right here. He has a voice. Does he have hands? Yes, hold up your hands. These are God's hands. He does. People always ask me about God. Yes, he has hands right here. These are God's hands. I am God's. We must be prepared when people are ready to receive Jesus Christ. And point five, can you lead someone to Christ? If you had a chance, if someone came up to you and said, what must I do to be saved? And you said, yes, I can. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 13. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who calls upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what you need right here. Romans 10, 9 through 13. If anybody you know wants to be saved, these are the verses. The very first thing I did as a Christian, I was 30 years old when I got saved. Never been to church before. Never read a Bible before. I got saved through the Bible at 30 years old. Someone gave me a Bible. I read it. I got saved. Nobody had to tell me to go to church. I don't get it, man. Nobody had to tell me that. God said, go to church. You're one of His people. You belong in God's house, man. Why do we got to beg people to come to church? I don't get it. They say I'm a Christian, but I don't want to go to church. I don't get that at all. I want to be in God's house. I want to be of God's people. That's a mean, ugly, corrupt world out there. I don't want no part of it. I want to be in here for God's people. And I want us to become one and get along as one and to love each other. So first thing I did is I learned a thing called Romans Road. They say if you want to get someone saved, learn Romans Road. Romans 3:23, 5:23, 5:8, 10:9, 10:13. I memorized that. It's called Romans Road. I want to bring people to Christ. In John 3:16, every church you go in, every Baptist church, I'll say every Baptist church you go in, you get a Bible tract. I got this morning in the foyer up front. You want to know how to lead someone to God? Four things you need to know about God. We all need to get one of these in the foyer. There's a big stack of them. I got it right here. God is holy and just. His word says the wages of sin is death. God is rich in mercy to all that call upon Him. And that is a picture of what God did through the gospel. This is a track on how you tell people to be saved. And maybe you need to read it for yourself. I don't know who's saved and who's not saved, but maybe you need to read it. 12 years ago, we used to have this track at Rolling Hills Baptist Church. I got a lot of Bible tracts. All you have to know are four things. God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. But God demonstrates His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a child of God, He gave you a voice. Some of us are big mouths like me, and there's some people that are real quiet. But we all go our separate ways. We all have different people we're around. And we need to either say loudly or quietly, Jesus loves you. And I love you. And let me talk about love for a minute. I grew up in a house where this word wasn't used ever. All we learned was cuss words. That's all I do. That's it. And so therefore I went into trucking business and learned more. I'm a diesel, certified diesel mechanic. I know a lot of bad words that I learned. But God saved me from all that. And He cleansed my heart. And so I didn't know what love was. But I got saved one day. And God showed me what love was. And then I had my first son. And then I really understood what love was. And next time I preach, I'm going to preach about the love. God showed me what love is. I know that word well. And there came a point where I started telling people, I love you. I love you. And I know y'all ain't going to believe this. When I was 35 years old, I told my mom, I looked her in the eye, I said, I love you. She never heard them words before in her life, ever. She didn't know what to do. I looked her in the eye, she freaked out. I never heard them words before. I told her, I love you. I love you. And I told her for 3 years, I love you, I love you, I love you. And finally, 3 years later, she came back, I love you, you know. We need to tell people that. I love you. God loves you. God loves you. But when it gets more personal when you say, I love you. So it's the love of God. Amen. And it's about oneness. About oneness. If anyone comes back tonight, I'll never tell what I'm going to preach about ever, but tonight I'm going to talk about grumbling and complaining in the church. We get it everywhere in this world. We get it in our workplace. We get it everywhere. Everybody grumbles and complains. Everybody's entitled. Nobody's happy. Everybody has their rights. Everybody has the right. I'm entitled. I'm an American. I demand my rights. Everybody's loud out there. It's a loud, angry world we live in. You live in that world? Everybody, I don't know why they're so mad. But when we come into God's house, it's about oneness. It should be calm and loving. Even if we don't get along or agree or if we're mad, it's about oneness, coming together in love. That's God's church. One God, one mediator between God and man, one Holy Spirit, one church, loving each other. And as I close, I just want to tell you again, in case you forgot, that God loves each and every one of you in here, and I love each and every one of you, and I'm glad you're here this morning. And I pray that we all know Him. But if you don't, before you leave here today, ask somebody, what must I do to be saved? Amen. And as we stand, I'm going to pray, and we're going to close. I will pray. I'm new at this church. I don't know how we do the service at this church, but I'm going to stand up front. Anybody wants me to pray with them, I'll pray with them. Anybody wants me to pray with them after church, I'll pray with them after church. You want me to come over to your house this week and pray with you? I'll pray. Get my number. I'll pray with you. I promise you. I'll pray with you. I will pray with you. I will come to your house. I will pray with you. Anybody needs prayer. I'm going to be up front, and I'll pray. And as the music plays, I'm going to close us in prayer. As the piano plays, as the music plays. Jesus, thank you for the service, Lord. Lord, I just want these people to know how much you love them and how much you love me. And how much we need to tell everybody that. And how we need to come together as a church right now more than ever. Because we are in the last days, Lord. This is it. We're running out of time. And so I pray if anyone needs you today that they'll come, Lord. And if anyone wants to come to this altar that they'll come. And I just love you, Jesus Christ. Amen.